I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
And now you're listening to Gamer Tag Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamer Tag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio 490. This is your old Danny or Godfrey. I always do that every week. And yes, we have the crew up in here. We're still in LA. A week later, we're still in LA. We have also Patrick here. What's up?
Yeah, sure wish I could go home, Danny. Why are you keeping me a prisoner in LA?
Hey, man, I'm making you work. No lunch, no food, no water.
I am doing fantastic. I am not that recovered, but, you know, feel good. A lot of cool things to talk about we didn't get a chance to talk about last week because we saw so many things.
So many things.
We couldn't even fit it all into the last episode. So we'll get into that in a little bit, but let's get into it.
All right. Pete Rock.
What's up?
What's up, man?
You look very good. The hype's done. The hype's over. The hype's over. The energy, the excitement is done.
Yeah.
E3 killed me.
Okay. And also Paris. What's up?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good.
Good?
Who are you and what have you done with Paris?
You know what?
Wow.
You're not even eating like fast food or junk food. Now you're eating healthy food a week later. That's
yes,
good.
Absolutely.
Back to the gym. How is that?
Like I never left.
Did you miss
it? I never do leave.
Did you miss it?
I can tell you by Tuesday, I did miss it for real.
Well, I know, like last night you learned, was it this morning?
No, this morning you woke up, you started doing push-ups.
Oh, you just broke the illusion. You said this morning. Yes.
It's true.
Oh, Peter.
That's true, man. Big episode this week. Aisha Tyler?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you, it took me 4 months to get that interview. It was really, really hard to get that interview behind the scenes, man. But shout out to Aisha. That was pretty cool having her on and stuff. And also shout out to Extra Life, Jeremy, aka yes. Doc Adams, yes. For those who know him. He helped us out. He got us a room for us to record this interview. And so whenever you get the chance, head over to the Extra Life website, Pete.
That's extra-life.org, extra-life.org.
Mm-hmm. And in the future, we're going to have them to promote Extra Life that I believe is happening this October.
Right. It's always in October.
Yeah. So we want them to come to the show and promote it. So, yeah, we'll see you guys soon. All right. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com or play.it. Listen to our past episodes or give us a call, 786-273-7GTR or email us fanmail@GamerTagRadio.com. So I believe we have a couple things we would like to talk about. One of my favorite interviews, I have to say, you guys interviewing Bungie's own Luke Smith. He was you guys interviewing him about the new Destiny expansion,
right,
coming out later this year. How was that experience finally talking to Luke, man? Like having him on the show and everything. The vibe was really good, you know?
Well there's a reason why. I've known Luke, God. I met Luke at the original Gears of War launch. So that was 2006.
Was he a journalist at that time?
Yeah, he was working for 1UP at the time. And that's when 1UP Yours first started to come into prominence. So, and back then, I had just started Uncle Gamer Radio. So it's like, I'm nobody. I'm still nobody. But the point is, I was very new to all this kind of stuff. So, for me, it was such a great honor to meet him, and it was so cool because even back then, like, we vibed and everything. I remember he came on Uncle Gamer. Dude, I remember he used to, on 1UP Yours, used to talk about Uncle Gamer and all that kind
even
of stuff.
Even GTR, too.
Yeah.
Him and Dan Shu.
I love how Danny interrupts me all the time.
No, I'm for real because I'm trying. No.
Continue
the conversation.
I get what you're saying. But to the point, I've kept up, you know, I've kept in, you know, minimal contact with Luke over the years because I don't like to bother people. He got, you know, got the job at Bungie and everything. I don't like to bother people. But the point I was making is he's someone that I was always cool with and I've always admired because of the podcast, because of One Up Yours when I first started becoming a podcaster. So last year, you know, when Destiny was ramping up, trading messages with him on Facebook or whatever, back and forth. And obviously Destiny came out. I got hooked to it. I'd been wanting to get him on the podcast to do an interview, and he was all gung-ho to do it. I tried three times, and all three times PR said no. They would not let him talk, right? Mm-hmm. May or may not have told me reasons why, but we won't get into that. But anyways, E3 this year, you know, we walk into the Activision booth, and I saw him, and he was with Irk. And I'm thinking, ah, he's busy. You know, I'm not even going to bother him again.
Who's Irk?
Irk, he's a Bungie community manager.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, before Deej started doing what he's doing now. But anyways, he pulled me over to the side. Hey, Paris, blah, blah, blah. How you doing? Oh, great, da, 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 da. And he's like, why are you here? And I was like, you know why I'm here. You know, I want to do an interview. He's like, absolutely. Wasn't on the schedule with PR to talk to him anything. He went out of his way to
Very
make
humble.
It happen.
Very
he got me and Pete over off into a private room. We got to sit there and play the first level of the Taken King for multiple times to really get a feel for it. And then, yeah, we just sat in the room. I think, God, we probably, Pete, talked with him, what, about a good 15 minutes before we even hit the record button, you know, just BSing around and everything. So go back, if you've not listened to it, into our archives and pull up that interview that we did. I mean, it was just two dudes talking, really. Mm-hmm. It just so happened he designs a game that I really like a lot, and he knows I like it, and we just chit-chatted about it. I thought mm-hmm. it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And, again, one of my personal highlights, because, again, yeah. This is one of my inspirations in podcasting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I know he's a podcaster back then. He used to record for One Up Yours.
And that was part of the conversation. Again, go listen to it, because we get into that as well about him, his former life as a podcaster, and him may or may not missing it now.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? That's one thing I have to say for podcasters out there that are trying to do like interviews and stuff. Get to know the person you're going to interview. I want make them feel comfortable. You know, every time we go to an event and we talk to a developer, I'm just at first I vibe with them, get to know, you know, a little bit about them and stuff, and then from there we just talk like we're just hanging out, chilling. And every interview that we record, they always say, "Wow, this was really good. I felt good. It was comfortable. It was great questions." You know, because we're not typically one of those like, "Oh, let me ask them," like one of those shock, you know, questions that's going to get, you know, headlines everywhere. We've never been like that. It just happens naturally, you know? So, Pete, I know you, this is your first time meeting Luke. How was the vibe, you know, talking to him?
Unlike Paris, you know, who has a history with him. I just, you know, when I hear Luke Smith, it's, you know, it's Bungie, you know, and it's for those in the industry, it's the name that's synonymous with Bungie, you know, Bungie itself. Mm-hmm. Or one of the names that are synonymous with Bungie itself. And for me, it was kind of a fanboyish moment, especially with the love and admiration I have for that title. I mean, it's everybody knows. I mean, I'm head over heels for Destiny. So being in there with Luke was kind of like, woo!
Yeah, fanboy.
But on a personal podcaster level, like I was... I don't really talk much in there. I was, you know, I did speak, but I saw the natural fluidity of the conversation between mm-hmm. Paris and Luke. And it was like two really good friends just BSing over there. Mm-hmm. And I just, I had to sit back. And at one point I just pushed the mic away and I was just like, you know what? You do it. You mm-hmm. know, it was just such a great conversation that just happened to be recorded in, you know, for our podcast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hats off to Paris for doing an amazing job.
Yeah, props, man. Honestly, that was one of my favorite interviews this year. So from our podcast and stuff.
There's a ghost in here that's frowning at me. This is hilarious. Real quick. You can't get me. Real quick, one side note, just because it wasn't in the interview, but Luke mentioned that because he was the lead director for the Vault of Glass raid.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which was the raid that came out mm-hmm. at launch for Destiny. He had nothing to do with the Dark Below DLC or House of Wolves DLC. He immediately started working on the raid for the Taken King. So to put it in context, basically, they've been working on that raid for a year.
Nice.
That's going to come out for The Taken King. So
nice.
Another side note, because it wasn't in the interview, and I think Patrick had it in his interview, but I'll just put it out there again. You can get the full Comet with all the prior DLC for $60.
Mm-hmm.
And the Legendary Edition that we discussed in the interview, that's just the extra stuff. You don't have to spend $80 to get that stuff.
Mm.
So just side note.
Well, I would like to mention this because I forgot to talk about during last week's episode. I think that our interview that we had with Aaron Greenberg, I think was a better interview than the one that we had with Phil last year. I don't know why. Maybe it's because of because we know Aaron, or maybe we asked him the right questions too. I mean, I don't know.
I agree and I disagree with you. I agree with you because there was, again, like I just said, similar with the Luke thing. We have, and especially you have that history with Aaron Greenberg. So when we sat down with him, I didn't even feel like we needed to like super prepare for it because I kind of just already knew what I wanted to say to him.
Agree.
It just came out naturally, which is fine. But I think talking to Phil Spencer had a greater significance for our podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Versus
definitely.
Talking to Aaron Greenberg because we got to talk to the head of the Xbox division and we got to let him know exactly how we felt about the product at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and look, I'm not taking any credit for anything, but I do find it funny that a lot of the concerns that we had about community engagement and interacting with the fans of their brand really seemed to be addressed this year by them. So
big time.
We're not taking credit for it, obviously, but it's pretty obvious Microsoft saw that as a concern and they went out of their way to try to correct it.
They're listening. Definitely. So let's go to the next topic. Pawson, I know you want to talk about Ghost Recon.
Yeah, we didn't have time to cover this last week, but Ghost Recon Wildlands, you know, for me, I didn't get a chance to check out the Ubisoft press conference. I know a couple of you guys were there, so I heard nothing but hearsay about it. But blew me the F away is all I can say. I sat down, I got a private behind closed doors presentation of it, live gameplay demo, 4 developers playing, 2 narrating. The scale of this game is absolutely ridiculous. It is set in the country of Bolivia, and I literally think they probably modeled the whole damn country because you pull that map back and they just say, any mountain range you see, you can go to, and there's probably stuff there to do. So it's you hunting drug cartel members, your 4-man elite squad, and you can go wherever you want. So if you want to strategize and say, you go up in the mountains, and I'll cover you the sniper rifle, you can get in a helicopter, you can drop people out of the helicopter, and they can base jump down and parachute and land wherever they want. You can commandeer vehicles, you can ride dirt bikes.
Mm-hmm.
Every single thing is at your disposal and is up to you as like a tactician to figure out what is the best strategy to take down my opponent. Do we use stealth? Do we ambush and set a trap? Do we just storm in, use superior firepower and tactics to take them out? I have never seen a third-person team-based shooter do some of the things I saw in just 15 minutes of the demonstration they showed to me.
Is it how you will compare this to The Division?
Night and day difference.
Okay.
Ghost Recon Wildlands, I feel like, is the culmination of everything they've ever worked towards with the Ghost Recon franchise. Because Ghost Recon has always been about you are an elite squad in a very large, dangerous world where you have to be very careful to check what's around you at all times. Because in the old games, you're usually fighting other special forces. This one, you're fighting cartel members, so you vastly out-train them in your skills. But that's what makes it so engaging, because you have the ability to get the intel you need to make the decisions on the fly, to basically, like, you know, unlike Rainbow Six, where like it's a great team-based game, but you're all in the same area working together door by door.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can be kilometers, miles apart from each other. There is no limit to how far you can be from each other, and you can separate 2 teams of 2, 1 team sniper, 3 on the ground. It's all up to you, and they say it's your choice. Mm-hmm. There's no linearity. You can accomplish these missions any way you want. You can choose to interrogate somebody for information where the next objective is, or you can just kill them outright and just figure it out on your own. I have never seen such ambition in a third-person tactical shooter as I've seen in Ghost Recon Wildlands, and it completely blew me away. I was not ready for this game.
The trailer looked crazy.
The trailer looked incredible, but it does not do justice to watching 4 people play it live, because I see that I'm like, that looks like the kind of game I have wanted since we've launched next-gen consoles. That, to me, is a next-gen, you know, tactical warfare, and I have to have this game. Obviously, what they showed me was pre-alpha. They've stressed that very much so. You know, don't, if you see anything weird, don't take it seriously. We have a lot of development time to go. They wouldn't even confirm a year for the release date. There's a lot of work to be done in this game, but I promise you, once you see this in at least a more final form, at least a beta form, your jaws are going to drop on the floor. I don't care if you're a PS4 one, Xbox One game, or PC. This is going to change the game of third-person tactical shooters.
I think this game is for maybe 2017.
That sounds like a, right? Definitely like, reasonable, I can see, right? Holiday 2017 for this. Maybe spring if they really put their backs into it. Mm. But this is a game that you would you don't want this rushed at all. Because
take your time, guys.
Seriously, yeah. Do not feel obligated. Yeah. You know, Rainbow Six Siege comes out this year. I'm going to play the bejesus out of it. I love that game. But this, Ghost Recon, is almost turning me away from my own favorite Tom Clancy franchise. Mm. I kind of feel like at this stage, Ghost Recon is a more complete version of its vision than maybe even Rainbow Six tried to be. Because Rainbow Six had to reinvent the wheel from Patriots to Siege. Wildlands feels like, as I said, they have been dreaming of making this for years, and now they have the technology to do it. Breathtaking is all I can say. You have to check this out, and fantastic. Can't wait to play it.
Paris, before we go to the next with the interview with Aisha, very quick, I know you got to see Gears of War very quick. Was that the showcase you got to see?
Yeah, I just played it for a few minutes.
How it felt? It felt good?
It felt like Gears of War PC to me. I mean, I'm not saying that as a bad thing. I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, it looked great, played, it was smooth, you know.
Graphically, very enhanced. Cool.
Gears of War, it's good. I mean, you know, I would say for anyone that hasn't experienced Gears of War, definitely go pick up that Ultimate Edition on Xbox One or the PC.
All right, so now we're going to go to our interview with Aisha. Anything you would like to say before we go to this?
Man, what can I not say? Definitely one of my highlights, just podcasting period, because she's provided so much personal entertainment for me. Because, you know, again, you'll hear it on the interview and everything, just all the different work and things that she's done. Mm-hmm. So to set up the story just real quick, I'll keep it brief. You know, I knew she was coming. I was already in the meeting room that we were in, nervous as hell, because I'm like, man, I just want to make sure I get this right and get it right. And I had my back turned. I was looking out a window or something. All of a sudden, the door opened. And in my head, I was like, don't be Aisha. I ain't ready yet. And it was Aisha. I was like, crap. It was Aisha. So I was like, okay, get it together. And Danny, you know, he just pushed you right into the action.
He didn't give
you a chance to breathe or anything. He's like, all right, come on, Paris, sit down. Here's the mic. All right, levels, test 1, 2, 2. All right, and go. And it's like,
I had to. You know this? You got to understand, like, celebs, they're fast, man. They're fast, dude. I know.
I'll say this one tiny thing. I was nervous at first because she had her shades on and she was on the cell phone doing the whole thing. And I was like, please just don't screw this up. That's all I was saying, right? But the one thing it did do, though, it just forced me into just interview mode. Go. I didn't have time to think. It was like, just go. You know what I mean? And I'll say one thing for you, and I don't even know if you'd be able to pick it up in an interview. There was at one point where I'm like, all right, I'm let Danny ask a question or something. I try to hand him the mic. No. He's waving me off.
I have a reason why. Because at that moment, you guys can listen to the interview. At that moment, I felt like you and her had this vibe, like the conversation was really good. I didn't want to kill it. And also, I was trying to come up with a different question because I didn't want to ask us the same type of question, you know? Because our goal, Paris, was to ask her about gaming, the movie stuff, you know, and the stand-up and podcasting. Like, I wanted to talk about different topics, not just one thing for a very long time.
It was like last week when I pushed the mic away with his conversation with Luke Smith. I didn't want, you know, just keep the flow going.
Exactly.
Great conversation. Just let keep the ball going.
You know, it was funny. And at one point, I'm thinking, all right, she's going to be limited on time. I'm thinking we're done. And her publicist was off in the background. Publicist looked at me like, no, go ahead.
She liked the questions.
Like, no, go ahead. So, you know, that right there showed me, obviously, it was a good time and everything. But thanks to you last year with Bonnie Ross, I was already prepared to be put on the spot for things like this. You know? So I was able to just push right on through it. And, you know, we got it done.
I might be pretty random.
And shout out to Bonnie Ross, by the way, and Kiki Wolfkill, because that was so awesome getting to speak with them, and we took the photo and everything. And I got to tell them. I know I said it already on another episode, but get to tell them the story.
And they were cracking up.
Yeah, they loved it. Yeah. So that was great.
All right, guys, we're going to take a short break. And after the break, we're going to play our interview with Aisha Tyler. Now, once we come back, we're going to be talking about a couple of other things, too. Transformers, very quick. We had a chance to sit down with Planet Games. Make sure to download that interview. That's a great, great interview. And be right back after this.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Imagine having a chance to get tickets to see the Golden State Warriors win the NBA Finals or the Chicago Blackhawks lift Lord Stanley's Cup. At Score Big, you can get the opportunity to get tickets to see the games and shows you want to see from the rafters to the front row. At Score Big, you save on every ticket every day. That's where you should go first to check on tickets, even events and seats you think you couldn't afford in the first place.
So, Pete, if at being a Laker fan of the purple and gold, mm-hmm. when we get Jahlil Okafor with the second pick here,
right,
you're telling me I should go to Score Big.
Absolutely. So there's a statistic that says 40% of tickets to events typically go unsold. And the typical cost savings for Score Big customers are on average of $80 per purchase. So you can have an opportunity to get tickets for the event that you normally thought you wouldn't have access to by going to ScoreBig.com.
So what you're telling me is, as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan, mm-hmm. and now that we have Jameis Winston as our quarterback,
right.
when he takes us to the playoffs and I want to go to a playoff game, I can just go to ScoreBig.
Absolutely. Just next time you want tickets to go see your favorite team, your favorite players, think big, save big, score big at ScoreBig.com.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
E3 2015, and I'm beyond excited. One of my favorite actresses, comedians, hosts, and podcaster, Aisha Tyler, thank you for joining
us. Thanks for having me. That's so sweet. Thank you.
Now, to start, I have to tell you a story.
Okay.
Last year, mm-hmm. we're at the Microsoft booth, mm-hmm. and we're behind closed doors mm-hmm. waiting for an appointment. Mm-hmm. You were there. Mm-hmm. You were with your family, whoever, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Even then, I'm like, oh my God, it's Aisha Tyler.
Yeah.
But then Steven Spielberg came in, and you were talking to him.
Yes.
I went from age 40 to about 10 seconds.
Well, good, because we were both at that age.
Yeah, talking to him.
That was so huge. Yeah.
But
he's working on a Halo project, I think, last year.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I was super excited. Yeah. Where is it, by the way?
That's what I want.
Yeah, seriously. Steven, get your shit together.
but talk to me. You hosted the Ubisoft press conference this year. So how was that experience?
It was weird. This is my fourth year doing that conference. So, and it's funny because there's a part of me that feels super casual about it because I've done it so many times now. But I do get really super excited about the games. And they do have a couple of titles that I loved before I did the press conference. So, I played 130 hours of Rainbow Six Vegas. So I was really super excited about the Siege reveal last year. And I have to kind of temper my, I always walk out on stage in the first 3 minutes, I'm talking like a million miles an hour because I'm just like, ah! And I kind of calm down like halfway through. But it was good. I thought it was the best conference we've done so far, the best conference I've done with them so far this year. And I was super excited about the titles. I got to play a bunch of them on the floor. And that's why I come. That's like the work part. And then this is the fun part.
Out of all those press conferences that you worked on.
My favorite moment?
Yeah.
They've all been good. Specifically, this conference had two great moments. One was being out on stage with Trey Parker and Matt Stone because I've known them for a really long time. They're old friends of mine. And we used to, we were just joking that we used to, party together on weeknights when we used to be the kind of people who had the kind of free time to party together on a weeknight. Now none of us have that kind of free time anymore. So it was just great to be out there because they're old friends, and that felt really, nice and informal. And then, I was excited about R6 Siege last year. I was super excited about it this year. I watched the guys play in rehearsal. They'd never won that Terror Hunt map. So when I saw them win, I was actually pissed. I really wanted them to lose because I want people to know that I said it. you know, this is real gameplay. These guys are really up here executing. And so it was just, that was fun. And then Angela Bassett walking on stage was pretty dope. And yes, seeing that she's going to be six in the game was pretty cool. I've been in three video games so far, and it's just exciting to be a part of a game, but I'm even more excited that she's a part of the game I'd be more excited if I was in the game, for sure. But I'm like only incrementally less excited about her.
Now, you're a big Halo player, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Talk to me about that.
Well, that was my gateway console game. That was the first game that I started playing on console. I was an arcade gamer, and then I was a handheld gamer, and then I was a PC gamer. You know, not a PC gamer, but a PC gamer. I'm an Apple person, but, you know, like Riven and Myst and stuff like that. Like when I first got back, and then obviously Tomb Raider when I got back into PC gaming. But I resisted getting a console because I was really pretty sure it was going to eat my life, and it absolutely did. And I just remember at one point during the first Halo thinking, like, I'm a grown-ass woman with a mortgage and I should not be playing a video game at 3:30 in the morning on a Wednesday night. Like, this is not, it's not a good look. When I'm homeless, I'll know who to blame. Yes, Microsoft and Mudgy. And I still blame them for lots of things. But I don't know, that was also the game that I started playing multiplayer with my friends on, and it's still the game that I love. I mean, that game's like a warm sweater, isn't it? You just love it. You go back to it. It feels familiar to you. And there's nothing like running around just cleaving your friends in two with a gravity hammer. It's just the best feeling in the world.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, do you have time to
play or not? It's a good question. The amount of bandwidth I have for gaming has just diminished the more jobs that I've had it. And so I was saying to somebody else, you know, I have like a stack of games in my living room, and you're like, I'm going to play all of these. And in the old days, a video game was like a book. If I started it, I had to finish it no matter how crappy. And now, like, I'm just like, started it, didn't love it, it goes. Or if I lose interest, it goes. And I just play the games that like really, really capture me. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of sequels I never finished. I didn't finish Fallout Vegas, New Vegas. I'm really excited about Fallout 4. I love Fallout 3. That was like a 180-hour game for me, so I'm super excited about 4. Mm-hmm. But I didn't love New Vegas. It just didn't feel as like innovative as 3, so I'm excited that Bethesda's back into this game.
I mean, there's any games that you got to see during the week of E3 so far that you like?
So not enough games this week. I played Rainbow Six Siege. Super fun game. Super fun. I think all of the aggressive fun, it's even more aggressive, actually, than Vegas. And I feel like, because it's so specific, it's so much about like co-op, and it's really, really aggressive. I think we just played on normal. We never, ever won. And also it's one kill, one shot. So there's no respawning, which there's nothing more frustrating than watching your friends have fun where you're just sitting there and you feel fair. You just feel impotent. Just to be specific, I just feel like I'm lying there and I can't get it up. But that was a super fun game. And then I think The Division looks amazing. I played all the UB games. I only play shooters, so I only look at shooters. So I just looked at the three shooters yesterday from UB. So Rainbow Six, The Division, and then there was some hands-off gameplay for the new Ghost Recon, which looks really, really cool and elaborate, super open world. Like, everything's playable. That was really cool. That's going to be a long game because it is so open. I feel like if you're going to play with your friends, you're going to be playing that for a couple months.
I want to shift gears just really quick, because you're on a podcast.
Okay.
You're a podcaster.
Sure, I am.
Last Comic-Con, I had the pleasure to be in the audience when you were doing Girl on Guy.
Oh, that's awesome.
So can you talk about Girl on Guy? Talk about that podcast a little bit?
Sure. Girl on Guy's in its fourth season. We're wrapping up its fourth season at the end of July. This has been a really gratifying year. We just hit 14 million downloads, which is plenty for a little show I just wanted to make to talk to my friends. And this year, I mean, we had some amazing guests. I mean, there's so many, I won't remember them all because I have a really crappy memory, but we just had David Benioff from Game of Thrones, who I'd been pursuing since the first Comic-Con, and I finally got him on the show, and he gave me like 2 hours of his life, which was massive.
Nice.
I just got LL Cool J, who I've also been pursuing for like 2 years, so that was pretty amazing. I wish I could remember all the great people we've had on. I mean, I'm still a fan at heart, and so these conversations are an opportunity for me to get somebody I am in love with alone in a room for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And I just try to hold it together and not like sweat bullets or, you know, pee myself a little bit. But it's this year we're going to do another event at Comic-Con. We're moving it to a new venue. It's really exciting. We've always had it in a small venue, but it's grown and grown every year. And so this year, can I say this? We're going to be doing it at the U.S. Grant, which is where the very first Comic-Con was held. So that's going to be a nice historical moment for us and for the podcast. But some cool people I'm going to have the Flash on pretty soon, Grant Gustin, and I may get a redux from The Arrow. And we're getting some more superhero stuff going for this Comic-Con.
I know you're
going
to attend a podcast movement this year.
Shifgear.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Well, so I'm supposed to come and do a keynote. I haven't written it yet. It's going to be full of curse words. I'm being really well behaved for your show, but I'm terrible at email. But it's funny because for me, you know, I don't know. The thing about the podcast specifically is I did it because I did some, I went on a couple of friends' show. I've always loved radio. As a stand-up, a big part of your life is doing radio. You go to a new town, you get up at 5 a.m, you do like all the radio stations to promote your show. So I've always loved doing radio. But when I did The Nerdist and then I did Adam Carolla's show right when he was moving from, you know, terrestrial radio to the internet. It was just so fun to sit around and shoot the shit with no rules with someone for an hour. And I started the show not knowing if it was going to go, just wanting to see if I liked it, and I loved it. My show is completely self-started. I don't have a network. I don't have a producer. I don't have an engineer. I record and cut and conform and upload every show myself, which is really, really stupid. I really could use somebody to do it for me, but I now at this point I've just been doing it for so long. Yeah, I don't know. It's just easier. It's easier for me, like, you know, do it at 3 a.m. to have to get it somebody on time because my schedule's so crazy. I love making it. I don't know that it's going to be the thing I do for the rest of my life, not because I don't love it, but because I have so many other things competing for my attention. But what's been really gratifying for me is how connected your listener is to the material that you put out there. And sometimes you think you're just throwing a bunch of crap up in the air. But when you get a letter or a tweet or a Facebook post from someone who says, you know, I love your show. It got me through a hard time in my life. It got me through a breakup. It got me through, you know, losing a family member or, you know, a transition in my life that was really challenging. And you listen to your show in the car, at my desk, or when I run, really changed me, really helped me. That's why I keep making the show. And I think, I don't want to put too fine a point on it because I'm not saving lives here. I'm not, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I love the show. And I hopefully that love comes through when people are listening to it.
Now, I have to ask this because if I don't, my friends will just 100% kill me. As you're talking, I'm still in awe that I'm sitting next to you right now. But as you're talking, all in my head I can hear is Lana Kane.
Oh, yeah. Very hoarse Lana Kane.
How much fun is it to do Archer?
Oh, I love making that show. I really do. You know, my first tying those two topics together, some of my very first podcast guests were my castmates and the show creator on Archer. But when I got offered that script, I remembered I'd really love them because they were the people who did C-Lab 2021. And I was a huge fan of that show. And I said yes, essentially sight unseen to Archer. I think I'd read 10 pages of the script. I knew it was never going to make it on the air. So I was like, I'll just go make some money, kick it in Atlanta for a couple days. It's too smart, too funny, too dirty to make it on the air. And every year that we go, I think we're always really pleasantly surprised, not because we don't love and believe in the show, but because we just get to make this incredibly cerebral, incredibly filthy show, and people like it and people watch it. And to us, it's still like that, like lumpin' little ashtray that you made like in shop class, you know? Yeah. So the fact that people like it is really gratifying. I'm so proud of it. Adam Reed's a genius. Matt Thompson, the executive producer, the two of them, they really defend that show and make it what it is. And it's a joy to go in there and say those terrible, terrible words every week.
I just have to say again, the last season when you took Archer to meet your parents, Lana's
yes.
parents.
Oh, wasn't that so fun?
I don't think I stopped laughing for an hour. It was just the best episode.
It's pretty
ever.
Inspired. And we just started making season 7. I just recorded the first episode of season 7 last week. So you're in for a lot more excellence from the show.
Oh, we're good. I thought we were wrapping up. Well, talk about your stand-up career a little bit.
Okay.
Because I've actually never seen you do stand-up.
Okay, yeah.
I've just heard that you do it. So.
Yeah. This would be my 22nd year doing stand-up, but I took, for the first time, I took this year off. Not completely, but I've been touring essentially continuously since I started stand-up. This year, because I had, you know, The Talk and Whose Line Is Anyway and Archer and Girl on Guy, which I produce all on my own, and I'm starting a new spirits company that I'm launching out of New York, I just had like no free time, and I was pretty sure I was going to get like consumption or rickets or dropsy if I didn't just drop one thing. So this year I did maybe like 3 or 4 stand-up dates, but I'll get back into it in 2016 for sure. But I love it. It's who I am. It's how I got into this business. And I did a movie with Eddie Murphy like 10 years ago, and I remember saying to him, like, would you ever get back into stand-up? And he said, you can never get off that bicycle, because if you stay off of it too long, those muscles will atrophy. You'll never be able to get back on. And I took that completely to heart, and until this year, and then I stopped doing stand-up. But I'm going back to it. Like, I'll do, like, I did, like, I'll do probably do a week in San Francisco in the fall.
Come
and
to Miami, too, if you can.
I will. I got to get out there. I just, I'm on, this year, 52 weekends, I'll have been on a plane probably 47 out of 52 weekends. So, yeah, I'm just trying to, not be that broad that shows up in the hospital with exhaustion. I'm making some quotation. Or runs into the into traffic drunk with a gun. I'm not going to name who did that. I think two or three people did. Two or three comedians have done that. Martin Lawrence.
Yeah. Any tips or, you know, advice for those, like, upcoming podcasters that are trying to do their thing too, you know?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So the three things I would say to a podcaster is, know that this is what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Really spend some time thinking about it. Don't be casual about it. Once you develop a fan base, they're going to expect a show from you. Yeah. It doesn't have to be every week. You can be, you know, a semi or a biweekly or a monthly show, but be consistent, because people are going to show up for that show and they're going to be expecting it. Mm-hmm. If they don't get it, they're going to drift away to other shows. There's lots of podcast options available to them. So they really want consistency from you. I say, as it's Wednesday and the show was supposed to go up yesterday, it's not up yet, but my fans give me a break. Everyone, I just sort of like, I'm at E3. Show gonna be late. And they know it's only me, so they know there's not a machine behind my show. Mm-hmm. But be consistent. That's important. Don't pick a big idea if a big idea is not important to you. Like, don't be like, we're gonna do a show about cookies that look like Jesus, you know, because you're gonna run out of cookie options very quickly. Pick a topic that you love and that you're passionate about, because that'll make you want to make it every week. Mm-hmm. And your passion will bleed through and connect with the people that listen, and that's gonna be the passion that tethers you to your audience. So it doesn't matter if you're doing a show that's similar to what other shows doing out there. If you're passionate about it and you can come at it with a fresh view and a fresh take, mm-hmm. people will connect with the material. And then three, I would just say, be patient, because it's a very crowded market, and don't do it because you think you're going to get rich and famous, or you're going to make as much money as
a lot of people think, always thinking that.
Hey, dummy, you're not going to get rich and famous. You big dummy.
It takes time.
It takes a lot of time. A lot of time to build an audience that's meaningful and that is valuable. And it's, and you know, with the exception of a very few people, you know, no one is making Adam Carolla money but Adam Carolla. So do it because you want to do it, and then hopefully the money will come.
And they tried to sue him. So
Right, they saw that big ass bag of money and they were like, how do we get some of that?
But I would say, from my own standpoint as a podcaster, I always say, don't do it unless it's fun.
Yeah,
it starts
absolutely.
Feeling like work unless you're getting paid.
Right.
Why are you
because you are doing it for free. So if it's not a totally joyful hour for you, if you occasionally I'm like, man, I don't want to talk to you. And then I sit down and I do it, and I always love it. At the end of the hour, I'm always like, oh God, this is why I do this. And then, like I said, when I get letters from fans talking about how much they love the show, that also imbues the show with a lot of value. But don't do it if you think this is going to be your gig, because it's probably not going to pay. Right. And if you don't enjoy it, there's absolutely no reason to do it whatsoever. There's, you know, there's lots of hobbies. You know what I mean? There's a lot of stuff you could be tiddlywink it up, you know? Yeah.
Well, Aisha, this has been an honor for me.
Thank you.
Just as we were saying with podcasting, the fact that I do a podcast and we were able to get you on here is something I always remember.
Thank you for asking me. Really was a pleasure to talk with you.
Yeah, thank you
for having me. It's awesome. Thanks.
Right. Yeah, thank you.
Super fun. Thank you.
Yeah.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
DraftKings.com, everybody. Baseball is in full swing, and you can be a part of the action all season long at DraftKings.com, which is the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash and instant gratification. Why would you wait to the end of the season to get paid when you can win huge prizes every day? At DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every time you play. Just pick two pitchers, pick eight position players, and pick your cash. That's it. Ask Pete. Pete, DraftKings.
Love it.
You love it. Why do you
easy.
Love it?
It's easy. Most of the time, you got to wait to the end of the season, and you don't have to deal with any of that. You don't have to deal with, you know, the 2-hour draft or any of that. No, it's pick it that day. You win money.
So if you're listening to this, use our promo code GAMERTAG, and you can go to DraftKings.com today and be a part of the $10,000 fantasy baseball contest. That is DraftKings.com. It is the official partner of Major League Baseball. Enter that code GAMERTAG for a free entry now at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we finished our interview with Aisha Tyler. That was top notch.
It was awesome.
I have to say, the first minute, for those that don't know, there was an issue. We were having audio issues, and I noticed that at the right then when we were doing the interview, I'm like, oh my God, Paris is going to kill me when he finds out. But it was, thank God, it was only the first minute, and we fixed the audio right there during the interview, which just came up pretty perfect. So
yeah, and yeah. Aisha couldn't have been nicer, man. And yeah. It's like, you know, like what I said at the end of that interview, I truly meant it. You know, it was fantastic that I got a chance to sit down and talk. And you know, I said it on the Spawn on Me podcast. There's a ghost around here that's reminding me of that. But I said it on their podcast, and it was almost like prophecy because we didn't know at the time we were going to interview Aisha, and I was telling them the story about the year before at the Halo booth. And I was just saying how she's a very tall and striking and beautiful woman. And the fact that I was sitting right next to her, just looking at my pretty brown eyes. She's just beautiful, smart, intelligent woman.
Yeah.
Go watch Archer, Danny, since you don't know anything about Archer.
No, I know about Archer. Just never seen it. You know, I'm definitely going to check it out, too. But I have to say, before we go to the next topic, when we were talking to her at the end of the interview, she got a little bit watery. Like, her eyes got watery because
we just cutting onions again.
No, and here's the thing, because she could notice that we really cared about having her, like the advice that she was giving to like a podcasters and everything. Like, it was very inspiring, yeah. Like seeing her there, you know. And
One last thing, because this was just funny. So we did the interview and everything and all that, and we tweeted about it. Like, you know, I tweeted about it. Hey, it was really you know, great, Aisha Tyler. And then she retweeted it.
Yeah.
And at the time, we're behind closed doors at Activision. I'm sitting in there with Call of Duty, Black Ops 3. I might as well have not even been in there because I couldn't tell you nothing about the game. I couldn't tell you nothing about what they showed. Anything. And classic. I'm all showing Pete off to the side. And I'm like, Pete, look.
And you know what? I was there freezing. Let me tell you, man. Out of all the booths, Activision was freaking freezing. Every room was like cold.
I actually said that. Refrigerator temperatures,
right?
I said that to Luke as soon as I walked in. I was like, hey, congratulations on having the greatest air conditioning in the entire E3 show floor.
I was shaking. Amazing. Pete was making fun of me. I'm there going my hand like, oh, I'm in New York. I'm getting cold up in here, man.
Yeah, man. It's funny. But yeah, moving on. So talk about Transformers real quick. Transformers Devastation is the game coming. It's an Activision game, but it's being developed by Platinum Games, who is just killing it.
Yo,
around the gaming industry right now.
Top notch developers.
Hit after hit.
Yeah, they're everywhere. But, you know, we got to see a demo of it. We could have done hands-on, but we just didn't have time. But we just got to watch the demo of it, their presentation. And the whole cell shading and doing all the Gen 1 characters and the wink-wink surprise characters that'll be coming later. It's going to be fun. I mean, it's a brawler. Is that the best way to describe it?
I'll compare that to what Bayonetta.
It's similar to Bayonetta or Metal Gear Rising. Their past games were score-based brawler based on how long you keep your combos going, chaining, how long it takes you to defeat enemies, and it scores you to end. But still, it fares very distinctly Transformers. Obviously, you have the better background Transformers. You grew up with it. I got the reruns when I was coming up as a kid. Still very attached to the show, but it's hard to describe. We can say cell shading, but until you see it in motion, it's gorgeous. It looks like a complete vision of what they always wanted to do with a Transformers game. Absolutely beautiful, and the combat flew so fluidly. You can transform into your vehicle mode during your combos to extend them. Such cool stuff. Classic Platinum games, but it has that flair that goes with the Transformers universe. I mean, some of the like we saw a boss fight, it was epic in scale.
That was sick. It's
cool stuff.
That was good.
And you know the characters they talk about, you can play as, you know, they hinted at
the
story.
Well, let's save that for the interview. How about people go listen to the interview that we did? If you go back into our content, you can hear all that information in the Gamertag Radio archives for E3 2015.
And also play that it.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, but real quick, and I'm just joking, Boston, but just the other thing that it was impressive is the fact that they got virtually all of the surviving voice cast to reprise their roles as well. They wouldn't say it because Devastator's in it, but I mean, it was strongly hinted that we'll see other combiners as well. So, and the Dinobots are in it. So, and they got the voice actor for Grimlock. So
yes!
I'm hyped.
Yeah, gotcha,
Grimlock, my favorite Transformer of all time. So
did it remind you a lot about the old cartoons?
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff?
And that's one other important thing to say. It definitely had that mid '80s vibe to it from the original Transformers.
So no, keep on.
The dialogue was fantastic. Like the fact that they had the original voice actor for Bumblebee. And come on, you can't have Transformers without Peter Cullen and Frank Welker. I mean, they are the voices of Megatron,
Optimus
Prime.
Megatron.
It's It completes the experience, sucks you right in, and man, it's a cartoon in motion. There's no other way to put it. It's outstandingly fun game, beautiful game. I can't wait to check out more of it.
Yeah, personally. Definitely.
Yeah, so we didn't get into this in last week's show, but I got a chance to check out a couple multiplayer matches of Black Ops 3. I got to say, I was skeptical since the day they announced this game. As I've said before, I wanted World War II. Give me World War II Call of Duty again. I love that. Adore it. That said, getting hands-on with the game, it instantly feels like a Treyarch Call of Duty. The controls are on point. The movement's on point. It's got the double jump kind of stuff that was in Advanced Warfare, some of the sci-fi technical stuff. But the core gameplay is there. Call of Duty fans will love it. And I was surprised myself at how well I was doing right off the bat, because those skill set, you pick it's like riding a bicycle. You don't forget how to play Call of Duty, but how quickly I adapted to the new environments, you know, the stuff that was the movement from Advanced Warfare and the new gadgets and some of the things you can do, like the gravity spikes. You can jump up in the air and do like a ground pound smash attack, kill everyone around you. Very, very cool stuff. And it didn't feel like it was overwhelming you with the technology stuff, because I feel like some games go too far with the sci-fi. It's strictly a shooter, and it has a lot of cool perks and unlockables and you know, killstreak rewards you can get that make it feel distinctly Black Ops. But that core gameplay is just as solid as it's ever been. And it might be, technically wise, for the little bit I played, it might be the most polished Call of Duty shooter I played so far.
Damn, okay.
Even at this stage, I know that's probably some more polishing to do, but I was very impressed by the bit I played. The map design looked excellent as well from the couple of maps I played.
So let me ask you this. Once it comes out, are you getting the Xbox One version or the PlayStation 4 now that they made deal with Sony?
I'm glad you said that, because I forgot to mention this, but this is my first time playing Call of Duty with a PS4 controller. I've always been traditional Xbox. They had it there all in the booth with PS4. It was just like playing Destiny. It just, those skills come to you so naturally. Mm-hmm. It is a fantastic controller for Call of Duty. I mean, I was doing just as well as I would have done with an Xbox One controller, which surprised even me. So it's a tough call right now. I mean, again, it's going to be a very busy holiday season with Star Wars Battlefront and Rainbow Six Siege and so many other shooters. But I came out of that Black Ops 3 experience with a much better impression than I did going into it, because, again, that Treyarch name, it means something, and they know how to make a damn good Call of Duty game.
I would just end it and remind people to go back and listen to our E3 2015 content.
There was a lot of content.
You know what I mean? Because guaranteed there's going to be people that download an episode and they're not going to go back into their RSS feed and grab prior stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's where a lot of this information is going to be.
Overall, like content-wise, you think we did pretty... I think we did good, man, this year.
For four people, we did.
Yeah, for a four-man team, we... Yeah. 125%.
But yeah, we did pretty good this year. Like, I feel that comparing to, like, going to E3 for the first time as a podcaster, they're like, what is a podcast? Now everybody knows. Now everybody knows about podcasts, you know? So, thank you, Serial. That helps a lot, believe it or not. And now everybody knows what a podcast is, so...
I didn't talk about Forza 6.
Oh, I got to see it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about the weather changes?
Are we back?
Yeah, we're back. Yeah, we're back.
All right. Intro it in.
I mentioned this. I got to see two games behind closed doors at the Microsoft booth. The Rare Collection, which is 30 game, a Rare Replay is called, and also Forza 6. Now, going to Forza 6, I'm a fan of Forza Horizon. I'm a big fan of that game. This one got my attention. I like the new modes that they added. They added a couple new ones. There's a story mode where you get to see like the histories of cars and stuff like that. And there's another one, which is League. I don't know if it's similar to the club one, because they really didn't want to get too much detail
they didn't
with
get
that.
Too much into
but
it.
I think it's going to be more.
But I mean, to cut you off.
Yeah.
Unlike you, you never... I'm kidding. No, but the League thing, the one thing they were talking about was the fact that there will be restrictions on what league you could... You have to progress to certain levels to be able to join certain leagues. So they want to make sure that everyone, you know, beginners are safe because they're playing with other beginners. More advanced players are playing with more advanced players. And if you're a super advanced player, you're not going to be able to go backwards and go play, you know, with all the beginners, and you're smoking them, you know.
And I think that's fair, because some people will take advantage of that, you know. So I think that's really, really good.
Yeah.
Another thing that I asked them was, hey, you know, 24 players online, like, how that's going to work? Because that's a lot of cars. Yeah, is it going to be too crowded?
No, they
were like, no, trust me. I asked them, is it the tracks like wider, or like how this is going to work? And he's like, look, trust me. They really concentrate on that, because they didn't want to They don't want to have like a whole mess. Everybody crashing right.
Yeah,
all
I'm about
over
to
the
say,
place.
Like, I can see it now. The first sharp turn is just going to be a 24 car pileup. Mm-hmm. Maybe 23 if the last guy is a little behind. He's like, all right, I'm going to keep mm-hmm. going. But again, I'd have to see the course design. Like you said, that's critical.
Well,
and
yeah,
how
they,
the cars
they
handle.
Said they'll have more information on that type of stuff later in the summer. But in the session I was in, they didn't get too in depth, but the tuning has been even more refined
yep.
on that. Mm-hmm. You know, the weather effects with the rain and the actual puddles, they got into how that will affect your driving. Even if one tire gets in, they got into the whole hydroplaning of all four tires, wind up getting in a puddle. So
wow. That sounds
and
impressive.
Just the physics yeah. and just the 3D scope of everything that they're doing with the weather effects, I thought was pretty phenomenal. And I mean, the game looked gorgeous.
Yeah. Even first showed. Person. When yeah. it's raining and you see the wipers, yeah. it's tight.
450 cars are in the Forza Vista mode. So yeah. that means they're completely detailed from the inside out. So that's yeah. pretty impressive on that level. Now, the one thing I had got into a pretty deep conversation with them about was the Drivatars. Because you have to understand, they're taking the information since the launch of Xbox One with Forza 5 mm-hmm. through Forza Horizon 2. And all that Drivatar information has... will be used to come day one into Forza 6. All that experience will be in your Drivatars day one. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you look at it that way, they have 2 years worth of driving experience. So if you were a hardcore Forza player mm-hmm. playing all the time, your Drivatar has accumulated all this information over that time. So I think that's pretty impressive, which was funny because it obviously wasn't the place to say it, but in my head it was, this is that marketing everything's in the cloud thing that they were talking about at launch. Yeah. But now instead of emphasizing it, they're just the Drivatar. But you know that's still the same thing.
They brought up one thing though. They were like, look, our goal was to make the Drivatar like more to drive more like professional instead of like feel right. like robotic,
right.
you know?
Right.
So
exactly.
I'm curious to see how that's gonna work once the game releases. I want to see the difference compared to like Forza Horizon 2 and the previous game, Forza
yeah.
5.
But that was the other interesting part that they brought up, because now that they're introducing the weather effects into Forza 6,
yeah,
Drivatars aren't used to that.
Ooh, that is true.
So it's a new element being introduced to a Drivatar that they haven't, so they will have to adapt to that.
Yeah, because the other games don't even have that nope. at all. No weather.
Nope.
You know,
and the night drive, again, night driving.
Night drive,
you know,
yeah.
Which they didn't show in the demo. That's something, again, they're going to show later in the summer.
Yeah, well, they said in the meeting, they were like, this is the best Forza game that they ever created.
Well,
so I'm like,
that every year. So.
No, but I mean, like, he really, you could tell, yeah. like, he really was pushing that. Like, look, this is like the deepest Forza that we made. So many new features, so many new things. Best Forza that ever made.
And it's got me hyped. I mean, I think the last Forza I was really into was the second one years ago. And again, I prefer Horizon if I had to choose, but like the way you guys are describing 6, it's got me really invested, because if I'm going to play a sim racing, it kind of sounds like that's the one I'm going to lean towards.
Yep.
Sounds like something special for sure.
Definitely. Well, we're going to wrap it up, guys. Anything you want like to talk about before we finish and wrap it up? I just want to say, man, guys, great job. Once again, I know I talked about this last week. I'm still have that high, like, man, we can test.
It's almost like you just said it about 20 minutes ago. It's just weird how a week can feel like 20 minutes.
Hey, time dilation.
Let me tell you, it felt like we were just at E3 last year, a couple
it
months ago.
It almost feels like I sat in this chair for a week.
Yeah.
It really does. It yeah. feels yeah. like I have not seen my wife or kids in 2 weeks now because I sat in this chair for a week.
Awesome, man. Well, head over to GamerTagGreeter.com, post your comments and questions. Also download our past episode. Head over to Play.it. CBS, shout out to them. They've been helping us big time during the week of E3. Shout out also to CBS Radio and CBS Radio LA. They've been pushing our content nonstop. And also shout out to our audio engineer, Anthony. He's over there in the back chilling, doing his thing.
He's a champion.
Champion, man. Really cool dude, man. Who else? Oh yeah, shout out to Vanessa from Stitcher. Shout out to her. She deals with that with Stitcher, like behind the scenes stuff. She's been posting our content front page. Shout out to her. So that was cool. And that's it for me. Anything else? Pete, you've been quiet using your phone.
No, I also want to give a shout out to everybody over at the Play.it social media team. They did a great job of helping us out this entire time. Shout out to Lindsay and Samantha.
Greg.
Greg.
Yeah.
Everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Brian, you the man, son. He was uploading content nonstop and editing the show. And he is a huge Destiny fan. He plays that game all the time. So shout out to Brian.
But who wouldn't be? It's great.
It's true.
And I believe he's playing on an Emerald. So Pete, you should meet up.
I'll reach out to him.
That's one last story. I'm glad you brought that up. So when we're talking with Luke or whatever, and at the end where we walked out, you know, he's like, hey, we should play Destiny together sometime, whatever, you know, shoot me over your ID and everything. I'm like, oh, absolutely. And then Pete was like, well, sucks for you, Pete. You won't get to play. And he was like, why? Because I go, you know, Pete's on an Emerald. And Luke kind of laughed. And then I won't use the exact word I said, because that's not kid friendly. It's a family show. But so that's what you get for playing on that beep Xbox.
Pete, what
was hilarious.
What do you have to say about
that? I just put my head down and said, can I have a t-shirt?
which again, and I know I'm not trying to make, I don't care. This is Destiny. I love the game. PlayStation, once again, has secured exclusive content. At one point, I was considering when Comet was coming out, mm-hmm. maybe I might start playing on Xbox One as well.
Yeah.
Hey, as Lana Kane would say, nope. Staying with the foe. About that foe life.
Foe life.
All right. Well, right, guys. Well, until next week, we are out. Thank you for listening and supporting GTR. Peace.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening.